Welcome back to the Creator CEO. I am joined by Mr. Rafa Waffles, who has over 15 years of experience on YouTube and over 500 million views. And today we talk about why you probably chose the wrong niche. Don't worry though, we're here to help you solve that. Before we dive in, I just wanted to share that this episode came directly from one of you. So a big shout out to Geeksy for the episode suggestion. This was a fun one. If you want to come up with an episode, then you can just DM me on Twitter. That's at Snoopy, at S-N-O-O-P-E-H. And now let's dive in to talk about choosing the right niche. Milo, I'm so excited to have you back. This topic is a fun one because often we're talking about things that are like actually happening in our week and things that we're wrestling with. This is one of those ones where like if you were to do it all again, like you didn't have all the leverage that you have, but you do have the knowledge that you have today. If you were to go back and start a channel and it was a complete blank slate, like you could choose whatever category you were in, whatever format you were in, what would you go and decide to do? I kind of want to throw it to you. First question right at the offset is, would you do things differently if you were starting again from scratch?
The short answer is 1,000,000% yes. The longer answer is I learned a huge amount from my first 5-ish years of my creator journey in failing during that period. That failure set me up to succeed later. And so in that regard, if I just sort of abstractly didn't fail, then I wouldn't know how to get to the path of success. So it's sort of a slightly more nuanced view to say, for my actual journey, right? Starting my YouTube channel in 2009, this current channel, 2009, and just making bad videos for several years. In hindsight, would I go back and just automatically do a different type of content? Well, maybe kind of no. I really needed to be bad for a long period, and the reps that I was doing there of posting video and it not working was still data refining my taste for what a good video was and what it meant to succeed and all those sorts of things. If I could be starting a new channel today, would I do stuff differently to what I did in 2009, 15 years ago? Hell yeah. There's a lot of differences there. I'm also curious, like for you, right, as someone that has built so much business expertise, right, since your kind of creator era, so to speak, would you want to, like, if I said to you, sorry, you can no longer do any of the business stuff, you have to just make content only, like, how would you approach that? What would you say? Okay, I'll do a similar thing to what I did before that fired me up back then. Or would you be like, new realm, new zone, new path for 2024?
Completely new path, new zone, new realm.
Okay.
100%. Using everything I'd learned. Because I think, fundamentally, I'm just at a totally different stage of life. And my perspective is fundamentally different now than it was then. I even would think about longevity, and I never cared about longevity when I was starting out. I never cared about what could I possibly be interested in outside of, gaming, right? That was my entire life, my early 20s. I never would have even thought about anything else. I never gave myself permission to think about anything else. Yeah, given that perspective, that context, I absolutely would do it differently this time around. Taking away the fact that you have a reputation, taking away the fact that you have like a monetary, like, you know, goal or like needs from running your business and your life, like month to month. If I was just to go, hey, Milo, you know, you've got all that experience. Just there's no expectation. No one needs anything from you. You know, you don't have any needs. This is a complete fresh slate. What would you go and do? First of all, as a niche, would you have stayed in gaming? Would you have done zombies?
Yeah, this is a juicy question. So I am the sort of person who historically over the years, I have very, very deeply leaned into things that have excited me personally rather than excited me from a growth perspective or things like that. I made 5 years of zombies videos that sort of failed, partly because I just loved zombies, not because I thought that zombies would be a good growth vector for my YouTube channel or what have you. I could kind of tell that there was also a undercurrent of potential there, but it wasn't really based on that I was doing what I was doing. Would I choose zombies specifically? Well, I think that just due to where the nature of that game is from the fan perspective, I probably wouldn't. I think that there's probably other areas that I could innovate in and bring my expertise to, and that would just be fun to dabble in and explore. I wish right now I had more time to pour into something like Elden Ring, right? It's just this massive, massive game with so much cool stuff to do, whether that's story content, whether that's guides content, whether that's just gameplay reaction type content or what have you. That's an example which is really easy to pull off the top of my head to be like, yeah, that's very attractive from a fan perspective of the potential there and of a business building perspective. If I really didn't have to worry about anything right now, maybe I would make content outside gaming. I've been making gaming content for a long time. I'm also really into a variety of other areas. Like, I would love to do stuff like make more music, right? That's like a personal interest that I'd like to do. I'm a musical person. I'd like to explore that more. That's something I could absolutely imagine creating a whole bunch of content on. And that's a massive vertical, right? That's huge. I'm also really into theater. More theater content? Absolutely. Could totally see myself doing that. Also really into fitness? Could totally see myself doing that. And I think that's something that's important to recognize, is that once you kind of get to the stage of your creator career that I'm at right now, having done this for such a long time and built up the knowledge base in my head that I have, I'm pretty confident I could go into whatever niche that I chose, and I could choose that niche based on interest, not based on likelihood of success, and I would still succeed. So I don't think that there's a niche out there that I couldn't do. Like, I don't think such a thing exists. What do I want to optimize for? My interest and my happiness, or money, maybe? Those are going to probably be somewhat different things, but they're also going to be pretty heavily related, because if I'm posting in a niche that I hate, I'm probably not going to make that much content. So regardless of if it pays the bills well, I could maybe be doubling my output by being elsewhere, and that might be a bigger uplift on my revenue, right? So those are some of the things that I would be thinking about. For the purpose of this conversation, let's say, yeah, I would absolutely not gravitate directly towards zombies, and I would choose a different path probably.
Yeah, I think it's interesting you said that you had to choose something previously that you were interested in to combat the failures, because you were basically just failing for years and years and years. And if you weren't interested innately in that thing, you wouldn't have made it through all those years of failing.
Yeah, I was creating because I was a fan, and it was fun to create as a fan, right? And so had I been in the position of being like, well, I need this to succeed in 3 months' time, otherwise I run out of like business runway or something, then like the whole premise would have fallen out from under me. So that was an integral part of that part of the journey for sure.
Amazing. So you're probably going to fail still a little bit in choosing this niche, but nowhere near. It's not going to take 5 years of failing. You're kind of going to fail around to find different opportunities likely. So let's choose a niche. Let's say it's not, just for the example, it's not zombies. Is it in gaming?
Let's go with something outside of gaming just to mix things up, right? I've got a hell of a lot of gaming expertise. And also, to speak to your point about longevity, I think this is really important. Having been making gaming content for so long, when I was 13 years old starting to make gaming content, I was absolutely not thinking, oh, do I still want to do this when I'm 35, right? Do I still want to do this when I'm 40 or 45? Whereas nowadays, that's more of a conversation. That's more of a question that I'm going to just have to grapple with because I'm older. And so maybe there is a better content vertical that would suit me better based on the period of my life that I'm at, right? Like, you see a lot of creators transition from a gaming type niche or what have you, or just whatever genre they might be in, they transition to like parenting or lifestyle or other things that are related to them maturing as a person and becoming middle-aged. Oh God,
You're almost there, Milo, you're almost there.
Yeah. So in that regard, for the purpose of this conversation, let's choose, and I'm going to pick this completely arbitrarily off the top of my head, cooking.
Cooking, here we go. We're hosting a birthday party today, and I can smell cakes in the background, so this is very, very fitting.
Hell yeah.
Cooking, that's interesting. I would personally, I think, really agree with you on the idea that we need something that is going to evolve with us as people and as humans. And for me, like, I still love gaming, but I do not put I was putting in insane hours in my early 20s. Now, things that are more top of mind are things like finance, technology, like these things are more permanent and persistent in my life, and I can see them persisting for, you know, many decades to come. So for me, I would choose those. Cooking, also going to be a big part of my life. So I think cooking will go for you. Mine would be between a toss up between finance and technology. Two of them both really, really interest me. And then finance, I think, is just becoming more important. Like, from, I have, you know, a kid now, I have a wife, I have a home, I'm making investments. I'm just starting and I'm thinking about my kid and like saving up for that. Like, so there's like just a lot of that's very present in my head. building companies. So I think that to me would be the, it is the thing that I'm quite interested in, and I can see it being a persistent thread over the next few years. So I would love to be a student of that and then also share what I'm learning.
Perfect. So there's the massive content creator called Stephen Tries. You can be Stephen Buys.
You were cooking that one.
Absolutely.
Cooking that one. All right. Then it comes the question of like, where would you create content? Because we're in a fundamentally different world today than we were. And there's so many options, right? Like live streaming wasn't even a thing when you first started. Short form wasn't a thing.
Yeah, short form definitely not.
Mm-hmm. And then even platform choice, you were kind of limited like where you could put the content up and where the audience was. So deciding on what content or what platform you'd be on and then what medium. So let's start with the platform. What platform would you choose to start creating content in first?
Yeah, so right now I think as a creator, you could almost pick this before your topic or niche or what have you, almost. Because it's just as important, I would say, in terms of how likely you are to stick with whatever you're doing. So for example, I know that I'm the sort of person that does not gel well with streaming as a daily activity. That really, really does not suit me. And that is regardless of what niche I'm in. It doesn't matter if I'm cooking. It doesn't matter if I'm playing video games. It doesn't matter if I'm... Like, the other day, I streamed myself scripting a documentary I'm writing. Like, that was a live stream. So it doesn't need to be sort of very tightly within the niche that I'm already in. I just know that streaming is not something that works for me regularly. And part of the reason for that is I like an element of chaos in my life. I don't like the regularity of streaming. That just doesn't suit me, right? So in that regard, I would say for a generic person considering this sort of question, do you think the type of, like almost the shape of life that you want to define and carve out for yourself is one which follows the model and the pattern that a career on a streaming platform would be best suited to? So can you imagine yourself doing, let's say, 5 days a week of regular streams where a significant block of that day each day is carved out for a stream? For example, right? Is that something that would suit you? For me, it's an absolutely categorical no. For you, maybe it's a super surefire yes. What's the type of content that I'm sort of thinking about? What do I have in mind? So for me, in real life right now, it's gameplay, zombies, Call of Duty content. So it makes total sense for a lot of that to live on a YouTube. There's a huge audience for that there. With cooking, there's a huge amount of content on YouTube. There is definitely a whole load of stuff there. But there are also other angles that I don't really tap with my gaming stuff, which might make sense from a platform perspective. So TikTok and Instagram, both of those, and I would almost say especially Instagram, although TikTok is a very, very close second, are both really compelling because I know for a fact that there are a huge number of eyeballs on those platforms that are looking for the kind of content that I would hypothetically be making in the cooking vertical. So that's part of the way that I would sort of think about that choice. I would be thinking about, okay, yeah, I could be making my cooking content and streaming it, but to what extent is there room for growth on a Twitch.tv or a Kick or whatever just within the cooking niche? And I think that would be pretty limited. So in that regard, I would want to give my business headroom so that I could grow to a really large size. And I wouldn't want to be a big fish in a small pond straight away. I think that would cap my potential. And so in that regard, I'd probably lean into Instagram and TikTok, maybe primarily, actually, with maybe YouTube as a close second, or I guess third. It would be joint first, and then YouTube maybe the follow-up. But within that as well, it's worth saying that I have a huge amount of expertise on YouTube. I'm so confident that if I, gun to my head, had to blow up a cooking channel tomorrow, I'm pretty confident I could do that pretty damn fast. I would find a way. Whereas on Instagram or on TikTok, there would be more discovery and more reps of supposed failures needed before I struck gold. And it would still happen, I'm confident, but it would take more reps, right? And so in that regard, part of what I might want to ask is, okay, what do I know well, right? For folks listening right now, some of the people that are listening are probably YouTubers. Some of the people listening are probably Twitch streamers. Some of them may not be creators anywhere right now. But to say to the YouTuber, oh, this sort of thing has to be on Twitch because there's more eyeballs there. It's like, well, not necessarily. If you're going to be forcing yourself to go through another 6 months of failed reps where you could be achieving success day one today on YouTube, maybe that is actually a better path. So there's a little bit of kind of back and forth to curate for the person's individual situation, which I think is needed there. So for you, with finance content, if that was if Stephen Buys was entering the game, what would your kind of consideration be for sort of maybe applying some of the things that I've just said to you? You can be the model through which we sort of actually run the experiment. So what type of creation do you think would suit you? And what platform do you think would be best suited to the type of creation, bearing your niche in mind?
Live streaming actually really resonates with me, but I think it's incredibly challenging to build an audience on if you're only doing live streaming. So I think it'd be good to have as like an opportunity to cultivate community and start building a sense of like a growing community. I would like a touch point once a week. I think would feel really good, but I think my priority would be where there's a large demand for this type of content already innately. And if it is being underserved, one of the things I noticed on like Finance Talk, for example, is it's mostly younger people trying to figure out different like hacks in finance, like navigating life and like, here's how to hack this savings account or these points or like things like that. And I think that there is an opportunity to be someone who's, you know, like 5-10 years older and just have sharing a little bit more perspective. I'm not like ancient, I'm not, you know, 30 years older, but I think there's like a nice niche within TikTok where I've gotten the house already, I'm paying the mortgage, but I'm also not totally uncool yet. And I think I'd probably play in that sandbox of creating content on TikTok. And I think I would learn a lot faster. I don't have the same experience you have on YouTube. So for me, I would still be doing learning on YouTube by going straight there. And I wouldn't be doing as much learning on TikTok or as much learning on Instagram. And I'd feel more comfortable creating for those two platforms than I would going straight to YouTube.
Makes total sense. And I think that's also something that we'll no doubt sort of tap into with some of the conversation in a moment here. But it's interesting and it's worth calling out that what you've just actively said is A, you wouldn't be doing what you're seeing everyone else having success with necessarily, right? Like the most common type of content might be content for people earlier in their finance journey. And you would be actively saying, I'm going to choose maybe a lower TAM here, but it's going to be a TAM that I recognize is suited to my interests and is also maybe underserved. And therefore, maybe there's an opportunity there that might not otherwise be accessible to me elsewhere, right? And that's worth really kind of being clear-eyed about, I think, as a creator sometimes, noticing, okay, if I make, for example, let's use gaming as an example here. If I make yet another walkthrough part 1 to part 10 of playing this video game for the first time, how many other people are doing that? I mean, it's a hell of a lot. But if you have some kind of more unique spin or you're like, oh, well, that's already well-served, but I do want to try and tap an audience that I believe is there, but it's underserved right now, and there are a few people making content in that specific style, then you might be onto a winner sooner and just have to compete with less of the rest of the population of the platform all vying for your viewership.
It is interesting. One of the things I would also be weighing up is my ability to, well, what constraints do I have? Like, do I have time constraints or do I have money constraints? Is also going to influence that. If I have to start making money sooner rather than later, that might dictate the platform I choose to go on. Example, TikTok could be harder to monetize. Whereas if I was creating, even a small channel was creating videos early on for a brand, whether that was on YouTube within the finance niche, like they've got a product they're selling, they need someone who can like make that content. That might help me make ends meet in the short term. So I might shift my strategy a little bit if that was a constraint. And the other thing that might constrain me is if we're talking a world where I'm working my full-time job and doing this in the evenings, I might have a slightly bigger bias towards doing short form content than I would doing streams or YouTube.
And that makes total sense. I mean, the world where you decide, okay, I need to find a pot of gold somewhere here sooner, right? I need to start tapping an actual vein of income instead of this just being iterative ideation and kind of seeking platform success rather than revenue success, maybe. Like, that is, both can be valid, right? You can absolutely be in a position in your career, your life, where you're like, okay, the actual most beneficial thing for me right now is not to be worrying about income. It's to be worrying about figuring out how this platform ticks and then figuring out how to monetize after that. And then the vice versa, opposite of that, is also totally true, where other folks might be like, well, realistically, I can't afford to just play in the ideas sandbox forever, and I need to find a way to monetize this ASAP. And that constraint is exactly what's going to mean that they can build a business to suit them, as opposed to just building to suit nothing.
It's so often we're biasing towards the most views, whatever would create the most views within a niche. And I think there's other people who are maybe further along in life and they're evaluating it. Maybe they're at a corporate job that they don't particularly love. Their possibilities are like, oh, I could just start creating content on LinkedIn and I could become a consultant. So like their path to becoming a creator just looks fundamentally different than being constrained to like, I must create TikTok content or I must create YouTube content. And I think widening the aperture there of what is possible is something that I perspective I have now that I never had before. Because all I thought about before was I just need my CCV to go up.
Historically, many YouTubers have been in the mindset of I just need my sub count to go up, right? And then you realize, hold on, there are channels out there that have only like 10K subs. And they're bringing in six figures a year. Why am I chasing this arbitrary subscriber number? My revenue is still 10x lower than these other people. Like, why is that the metric for you? And again, there's no concretely right answer here. Like, I believe very strongly that there are changes that come with having a million subscribers that you don't get when you've got 800,000 subscribers, purely because people have a bias towards big numbers. And if they're a brand or if they're someone that's sort of looking for social proof, maybe you're going to do some advisory, some consulting or what have you, and you can say, yeah, I've got a million blahs, that's going to just sound good, right? So there's a world where, hell yeah, you want to optimize towards that. And maybe you go through the era of your career of driving towards that particular metric. But it's equally valid to say, and I actually saw this even recently, I can call out a specific example. There's a guy who I believe works maybe with Ali Abdaal. I'm not 100% sure exactly what his role is, but he's been growing a newsletter with like YouTube insights and bits and pieces. And he recently said that he had this sort of arbitrary subscriber goal of just wanting to get to, I don't remember exactly what it was. So let's just say like 50,000 subscribers to this newsletter. And he kind of realized like, okay, I could just drive in that direction and just get the subscribers that I want to get. But equally, I could retarget a new number of maybe only 10,000 subscribers, but also be bringing in $10,000 a month or something from the newsletter and funneling that back into the newsletter as well as its own growth path, right? And in that way, seeing his recent newsletter about that, his name's Tintin, I believe, it's like, oh yeah, okay, it's maybe it's a no-brainer for his particular business case to say, well, you need the rubber to hit the road and you need the revenue right now, right? Whereas somebody else, like somebody in my shoes, I can afford to iterate and grow on TikTok, for instance, without needing that to turn into a brand deal or needing that to turn into loads of money from the creator fund or something, because I'm just learning. It's like a sandbox thing that I'm doing. There's an element almost of play there, which is not the same as an element of, okay, ultimately, will I be able to eat if this doesn't go well? Like, that is not part of the consideration for me. And so it really is dependent on the creator in question.
Yeah, and that's where it's like super unique, depending on your constraints. Like, I have a kid, you don't have a kid. So like our calculation is going to be slightly different. I think it leads me to the next question, which is how much content would you be creating and where? So we've got Milo the Chef. He is creating content on TikTok or Instagram. How much content are you creating and what kind of types of content, even though you've not done a lot of research yet, like what types of content are you creating on TikTok or Instagram?
So I would say the first thing I would do would be the research, right? And it wouldn't need to be completely scouring the entire platform for everything there is to know about cooking in general. It might be that I look to the people that I already follow and I just go, okay, why am I following these people? Like, why do I like this? Do I like this because I want to use recipes that I'm seeing that they're posting. Do I like this because of the aesthetic? Do I like this because of the skills element of it, of learning a profession or learning the art of cooking as opposed to just the end result of a plate of yummy food? So I'd start to maybe question some of those things to understand, okay, from the perspective of my interests, which I'm hoping to serve with much of this content as well, what's there already? What do I already have to work with? Then I would look at the platform from a bit more of an outsider sort of alien perspective. I'd maybe go incognito browser or something like that and just sort of scout around a bit and say, okay, if I go down a rabbit hole of looking at recommended videos and I go onto a creator's page and then I scroll and I scroll and I scroll and I scroll and I go through a bunch of their reels, I train the algorithm a little bit, and then I go for some recommended stuff and get a flavor for what it's serving me or those sorts of things, I'd start to pick up on patterns of, okay, there are usually some pretty tried and tested content formats that exist in any niche. Doesn't matter if it's gaming, finance, cooking, or anything else you could possibly name. There are just always repeat formats. It's just the nature of the human interest and the way that that's served with content, right? So I would start to take note of those things. And I start to say, okay, interesting. So with recipes, for instance, people really resonate with an image of the final product, and then the recipe is in the description, as opposed to just a sort of play-by-play of, okay, do this, and then do this, and then do this, and it's a video, right? Maybe I would detect that's actually not so suitable an angle for that particular type of content. And I would carve out a series of different buckets of overall content verticals that I would want to try and attack. And then I'd probably, based on that research, then get to the question that you were asking of, I'd probably start to make decisions about how frequently I wanted to try and attack those things. So it might be something where I say, okay, initially I actually just want to do one thing. I just want to do a format where I work on getting a final, like let's say this sort of carousel example, I get a final product picture, and then maybe there's a carousel of some recipe slides and it's written in a description for like an Instagram, let's say. How often am I seeing other folks on the platform succeeding with their cadence here? Like, should this be a daily thing or a weekly thing or what have you? And then I contrast that with what I think is possible for me to do, both feasibly from a resources perspective and from an interest perspective and from a like questioning how much something might burn me out or might get in my way. And so I'd start to build a little bit of a plan from there, but in the opening weeks of it, I would really allow myself to be quite free-flowing. I wouldn't be saying, okay, I need to do a recipe on Monday and a recipe on Tuesday and then a screenshot on Thursday and then a this on a Friday and a stream on a Saturday. I wouldn't carve a content plan out like that because I think that to do so would be to predetermine what success would look like before I knew what it was like for me. So sure, there might be other creators out there that are succeeding with that cadence, but I don't yet know if I can even succeed in that area. It might be that something else blows up for me. And if something blows up for me, but then I'm like, okay, well, listen, Monday's bolognese recipe that I do every week, right? Like maybe I do a new pasta recipe every week. That's blowing up like crazy. I'm going to actively ignore that and I'm going to stick to my plan and do a Tuesday day in the life cooking video because that's what I defined on my calendar 3 weeks ago, right? I don't work like that. I'm very much fluid and reactive to what the content is telling me. And so in that regard, I would really mold my cadence based on sort of what the data said. Does that answer the question?
It absolutely does. I think the key point there is research, is actually like doing the upfront research to decide what types of content, how much content you should be creating. And it's interesting how you balance the artist and the scientist in that discovery process. I think I would err more to being a scientist. Like for example, you said I would feel into how the content was doing and I would be kind of reactive and in flow with it. Like that is not in my nature. And I don't necessarily think it's a good thing or a bad thing. It's just less in my nature to be that way. I think I would take a very scientific approach to evaluating finance on TikTok or finance on Instagram. I would look at like the top probably 10 accounts on the platform and in that niche that I am thinking in my head I want to go after, and I would pull those 10 accounts and I would look over the last 90 days, I would list all of their top performing videos, and I would then try and correlate between those 10 accounts, what are the themes that are trending or like working, and I would think about, okay, what is my spin or voice within those themes and buckets, and I would be extremely scientific about it, and I would say, okay, now I'm going to commit to a certain amount of those types of videos, and I'm going to learn. That's how I would go, and I would probably would fixate, which is interesting because that's just how I work, as I would be like, I will do two episodes, I will do them on these days, and I will, I think the one thing I might consider is if I would probably go with TikTok first, but my long-term goal would be to build a presence on YouTube. I just believe in YouTube as a platform in the finance niche. And I think in that world, I would want to give shorts a chance because I would see myself kind of building there later. I'm also like, if you ask me today, I don't know if like shorts doesn't really correlate to long form views on YouTube. I know that's a thing they're trying to figure out, but I would like, my aspirations would be to build on YouTube later. So like, am I wasting time on TikTok? That's, I would ask myself that question.
And to answer young Stephen Buys on the quest towards financial freedom through YouTube success, I would say my gut feel on that is that sometimes syndication, which we talked about in another episode, and I'm sure we'll be able to link that in the show notes, etc., if you want to go have a listen. But sometimes syndication, i.e. posting on TikTok and then reposting it on another platform, might actually be net negative for what your business is looking for. And in your case specifically, I would say, okay, if you're trying to figure out how things best work on a TikTok, it might be that it's better to totally ignore YouTube Shorts, just because as soon as you add YouTube Shorts into the picture, it's like, okay, first of all, one thing that does very clearly and materially, it means that the safe zone of where you can place things within the frame is a bit different because the YouTube UI is different to TikTok. So straight away, you're already a bit restricted based on the TikTok UI. Suddenly, there are new areas of the screen where you just can't do interesting stuff that could be interesting on TikTok because you're thinking, oh, I need that to not be covered up on YouTube, right? Second, YouTube Shorts, as of the time of recording this video, only supports 60-second videos, and it doesn't allow you to post something that's a minute 30, as an Instagram Reels would allow you to do, or over that, up like 10-minute videos, as TikTok does currently support. And so you might think, oh, well, I want to post this short as a YouTube short as well as a TikTok, so if it's over 60 seconds, I have to cut it down. And you might find that with finance specifically, longer form shorts actually are the key to really getting people to be invested in the content. Like, because it's finance, they don't want the 3-second kind of popcorn content so much.
There's scrutiny on like, what you're saying.
Exactly, and there's a depth of information that is quite high stakes information as well, because people's finances depend on it. So maybe you're like, okay, the minute 30 or the 2-minute or the 3-minute TikTok is actually best, but oh wait, I can't do that because I'm also posting on YouTube Shorts. Suddenly you're sort of kneecapping yourself, right? So I'd say that it may be in your best interest initially to just be like, I'm going to do all of that scientific research on TikTok specifically and be narrow. And then once you're familiar and you've essentially gone from 0 to 1 on TikTok, then you can start saying, okay, TikTok is easier for me now. Maybe now's the time where I can spend some of my extra mental bandwidth that I freed up by being good at TikTok, and I can spend that on something like YouTube Shorts.
No, I totally agree with you. I think the one thing in the back of my mind is like, is TikTok here 6 months from now? Is a consideration that I didn't have to make in the past with like a YouTube as a platform. Yeah. But I think you're absolutely right. Is content syndication is a great episode if you have not listened to it yet. It talks about not just the pros of getting your content everywhere, but also the cons. And then we already talked about like type of content. I think maybe content engine and like balancing your time. So you've done that research up front. You're kind of going with the flow in that first month. How do you assess like, are things working? Do I have to pivot? How much time do you give yourself to figure out if cooking on Instagram is the right format? If it's like recipes, or is it like, you know, watching cooking shows or reacting to people eating food, or like, how do you go through that discovery process?
Yeah, so this is in some ways a really sort of golden question that I think a lot of creators really struggle with, and part of what is difficult in answering it is that it is very personal. So I'm going to speak here initially to what I would do, but that is not necessarily the same as what I think the general approach should be. We can talk about that in a moment, right? So the initial answer here is I am not the type of person who will set myself a goal in advance of, for example, I need to get a certain number of views in this format or what have you with this content type in a certain amount of time. And if I haven't hit that threshold, then that's when I pivot. Like, I do not put things in writing or set them in stone, so to speak, in that way. And part of the reason for that is that I have sufficient confidence in my ability to read the medium that I'm in as a creator to say, if I'm trying to do something, there must be clear signals based on the platform and the other data that I'm seeing from other creators and from the world around me, the world of media around me. There must be signals within there indicating to me that there is success to be found in that area, right? And part of that is because I have a very clear understanding at this point in my career of what actually makes good content. Like, if something is not working, there is often a clear reason as to why that is the case that I can figure out. It's often not too difficult to discern. And as a result, I think that the likelihood of me doing things that I genuinely did feel like were the good content and finding no success would actually be very, very low. I think that the more likely thing that would be the case there is that I would find that the types of content that I would be wanting to make would be too resource intensive, would take too much of my time relative to what I was getting back from them eventually once they were sort of blowing up or whatever. And so those are the sorts of things that might cause me to reevaluate and pivot away from something, as opposed to the content just didn't do well. It might be like, well, unfortunately, the content did exactly as well as I predicted. It just took 1,000 extra hours to make it, right? So for me, I would be pretty loose with the way that I approach the reading of the data and the sort of decisions I made based on that in some ways, I think. In a more general sense, I think that what's important for creators to always drill down to and understand, and as they're going through this sort of exercise, is are you still learning with each post that you make? And if you're just posting because you feel like it's in the calendar that you have to do it, and you're not learning from those posts, you are digging your own grave. You are absolutely just entering a period of stagnancy, and it's infinitely better for you to just stop completely than for you to spin your wheels. And so if you're in a situation where you're a creator right now, for example, and you're saying, well, I've been cutting up clips from my live streams for the last 6 months, and the clips just kind of, they just sort of don't really go anywhere. Like, maybe they get stuck at 200 views on TikTok. Maybe a couple of them blow up into the low thousands. Maybe you have one or two that go to like 100K and you're like amped about it, but your actual Twitch CCV stays the same, and the viewership that you're getting on TikTok is just kind of there, right? And you're just doing it because you told yourself that you would do it. In that context, I'd be like, hit the ejector button immediately, get out of that sort of mindset, and get yourself back into a period of the only way that I win here long term is if I constantly grow with the meta of what works on all of these platforms. And I will only grow by doing new stuff that I'm not sure is going to work, but that is intentionally experimental and something that you can then learn from. Like, be running an experiment. Don't just be pushing something out there and being like, I pushed it. Push something out there and then measure it, and then make changes to the way that your process works based on that experiment, right? If you're not doing that.
One of my biggest gripes with live streaming,
yep,
is the rate of learning being too slow.
It is painfully slow. And I, as a result, as someone that wants to iterate, I hate that, because I'll do a stream and I'll be like, well, maybe I hit the most CCV I'd had recently, right? Is that actually something I learned from? I don't know if it is a lot of the time with streaming. Like, if it's just a sort of incremental increase, maybe the peak CCV you've ever had is 100, and then you do a stream and you're at 110, you're kind of there like, okay, did that just happen? Or did I do something different? Or like, what can I learn from that? How can I change things? But it's so slow and laborious to actually implement compared to a world where you know you did something different in a TikTok, because suddenly the TikTok's at 1 million views and you're like, oh, okay, we've got something to measure now that's really meaningful. And very small, individual, intentional changes led to that result. Whereas with streaming, it's this broad hours and hours of different aspects of the way that you operate there, which all contribute to it. So yeah, 100% aligned with you on that front.
How would you accelerate it? So beyond the research that you did and then like figuring out those content types, like I would look at other accounts that are already performing well in the niche I'm looking at. How would you accelerate your growth if you could? And I have a few ideas of how I might do it, but I'd love to hear from you. Like, how would you try and, using what you've learned over the last 15 years and 500 million views, how would you accelerate the growth of a new channel?
So the first question I'd ask is, which metric am I trying to grow? Am I trying to grow the numbers like we talked before in terms of subscribers or followers or what have you? Am I trying to increase the viewership on an individual post? Am I trying to increase the baseline viewership across all the posts that I put out? Am I trying to also grow a secondary platform? Am I trying to also grow an email list? Am I trying to just boost my revenue? There's a million things that could be success for a given person, right? So I would start the exercise there. And let's say revenue was what I was chasing, right? Because I think that's probably the most common thing that everyone wants more of, is just money. If I found a bit of a flow that works here and I'm like kind of in a period of success, but that success is stable as opposed to being on an upward slope and going in a good direction and really accelerating, I'd start to say, okay, what are the constraints that I have right now that are stopping me doing either more of what I'm already doing or new things that I'm not yet tapping, right? So maybe I'm posting once a week. Is there something that is constraining my time that means that I can't post twice a week right now that I need to solve for? Or could I just do that? Like, is that a thing where I could maybe cut out some kind of arbitrary other bit of work I'm doing and just get two posts a week out that I know are going to succeed, right? So I'd start to ask those sorts of questions to myself. I think also with revenue, a big thing that I would ask is, how am I monetizing right now? How do I want to monetize maybe 6 months from now? So with continued success as I'm currently doing it, and how might I want to monetize maybe in 2 years, for instance, right? So I think something that smaller creators may fall into a trap of is they may say, okay, I'm a smaller creator, so I don't have a big following. So I'm going to make UGC for brands, and I'm going to get really good at selling my UGC services to these various brands and just recording product demos and those sorts of things, right? And that may well help sort of bring your bottom line up and give you some revenue to run with when you're a smaller creator. But you need to also remember that that would come with a cost of fewer reps of you iterating in the other content that you might be doing that might be the stuff that actually taps the crazy big viewership for you, right? Like, if you're even not posting it on your own channel, you don't have any of the experience learning from the data, etc. So I would maybe say, okay, within that exercise of how do I monetize today versus 6 months versus 2 years, what is the 2 year path? And are there any kind of inroads that I can start making towards that I can give myself a checkpoint for at that 6 month mark? So for instance, maybe I've been making UGC, but I aspire to start working with specific cooking brands like Le Creuset or a HelloFresh. So it could be hardware, it could be services, it could be whoever, right? In the cooking vertical. And I could say, okay, well, I'm small right now, but can I do a version of the thing that I want to do in 2 years, but just 100 times smaller and still manage to make it work with the HelloFresh team? Like, can I make that happen? Can I figure out who the person at HelloFresh is to contact that does those sorts of deals? Or is there maybe a platform that I can use that does those sorts of deals and has that brand partner that I can use as like a stepping stone? So for example, just to throw a random example out here, Stream Elements and even Twitch itself offer a whole sort of suite of different brand deals that you can do. Maybe you actively seek out some brand deals that you can do there that is your own content that you're integrating into and say, okay, maybe this isn't something that is going to earn me actual real good money right now. Like, maybe the UGC is better for baseline revenue, but this is at least a sort of shadow mini version of the thing that I end up aspiring to in a couple of years' time. And I would start getting reps in on that now, because those reps are going to be infinitely more valuable in the acceleration of my revenue than doing the reps that, again, kind of contribute to stasis as opposed to some kind of upward path towards new realms of revenue that I've not yet tapped.
I think the big thing that I take away at the very beginning of that is, what are you trying to accelerate? And that's so unique to each individual person. And then, yeah, not losing sight of the short term versus the long term. Because I think a lot of creators can fixate on short term. And I think the longer you can delay gratification of whatever that thing is, the better, because you're not tied to it. You're not constrained by that thing. Often that constraint can be a curse. I think the biggest thing is, the longer that you can delay that gratification, the more it will reap rewards when you do go to, you know, harvest the seed, or whatever the right metaphor is here for that. Will benefit you. I think for me, if I was one, say take views, for example, is the thing that I cared about the most in the finance niche. I think one thing I would do differently is find opportunities to go into audiences where I think they're being underserved by finance. Most of the gaming audience, which is the audience I grew up in, is less financially literate than some of the people who would default to consuming financial content. Therefore, if I could find a way to integrate or participate in the gaming community, but bringing the finance knowledge that I have, I feel like I could create a new audience within finance that doesn't necessarily exist on Finance Talk, as an example. I think one example that I think did really good at this was Healthy Gamer, Dr. K, where he brought mental health, which was his kind of subject matter expertise, and brought it into the gaming space. And that was the overlap that community was underserved by mental health or therapy talk or like things like that. And he was able to bootstrap an audience and create an audience there that didn't exist before. So I think that's something I would consider doing and trying that I wouldn't have done in the past.
The nice thing about choosing views as your metric there is that views would be a really very fast metric to refer to understand whether or not it was going in the right direction and it was meaningfully growing your business, right? So when you're carving out a new niche, like a thing that seemingly doesn't exist, you may find that doesn't exist because no one else has thought to do it yet. Or you may find that no one else is doing it because they've tried and the videos have all flopped, right? They just happen to not have an audience for whatever reason. And viewership is your perfect litmus test of whether or not it's option A or option B. So using that as your North Star initially, rather than being like, okay, I need this to also sort of convert into like good RPM on my videos and like all those sorts of things, that would be a later question to explore. The initial one would be more so, I have a hypothesis, right? You're coming at this from the scientist perspective. So you'd want to ask, okay, I hypothesize that there is an audience out there that would like this kind of content. Can I make content good enough to reach that audience? And you start putting that content out at the best content and sort of quality you could possibly achieve. Use that almost as a control variable to say, well, the content's good, so something else is going to make or break whether or not it gets viewership. And that thing is going to be, are people actually there to watch it or not? And so you can kind of test your hypothesis that way, right? So totally agree that chasing viewership for you in that context would be probably your most valuable North Star.
Yeah, and my assumption as well is that if I can get views within the finance niche, the RPMs are typically much higher there anyway. So I don't need a massive audience. So if I can just prove that there is audience and I can get audience there, that I will find a way to monetize it at a rate that is acceptable to me sooner rather than later.
So that might mean that you say, I'm not worried about the fact that I'm making shorts, for example, because right now many creators are like, well, I could do shorts, but they pay like hell. So I don't want to do that. Whereas you can lean in and be like, well, revenue doesn't matter here. That is ultimately not important because I have confidence that this niche is still going to end up being profitable through whatever vector I choose. And so I can therefore not worry about that so much. And I can purely lean into just reaching eyeballs.
I think this is a really fun way of just diving into, if you were to start again tomorrow, I almost kind of wish I had the space, not having responsibility of running a team and having a family, where I could just like go in this little sandbox and play. I still get some time, like some chance to do it. But it's not like my own experiment myself solely.
I think
you still have some freedom in that area, right? You still have some opportunities to dabble.
I think you will be able to tell once I have reached a stage where I'm essentially sort of soft retiring, because I will suddenly have 15 different YouTube channels, one on cooking, one on fitness, one on finance. Like, and I will just be, I'll just be meddling here, there, and everywhere. There will be signs.
I could imagine you're running, like, let's fast forward 5 years, 10 faceless channels.
Yeah, I could see that happening for sure.
Awesome. This was fun. This was really fun. Milo, thanks for beating us up. I hope this was really helpful for those of you listening. If you would have done things differently, or you just totally didn't agree with something that we proposed, I would love to hear for you, like, what was unique about how you would approach it, or even as you're earlier in the journey right now and you're navigating some of these decisions, what are you finding out for yourself? Please let us know. You can at Milo on Twitter, Mr. Rough Waffles, or at me at Snoopy, S-N-O-O-P-E-H. I would love to hear from you.
Hell yeah. Looking forward to seeing your comments, folks.